You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to our SmartCast Micro Learning Podcast series titled Tackling Barriers to Care in Ophthalmology, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Academics, Research, and Clinical Practice. This series is hosted by Dr. Judy Kim, a professor of ophthalmology and visual sciences and vitreoretinal specialist at the Eye Institute of the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Let's get started with today's episode.
Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dr. Judy Kim. I'm a vitreoretinal specialist, and I will be the host of today's podcast entitled Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Ophthalmology, Identifying Problems, What We Can Do Better, and Strategies for Solution. Joining me is Dr. Adrian Scott. Dr. Scott is a retina specialist and chief of the Johns Hopkins Wilmer Eye Institute in Bel Air, Maryland. Adrian, you and I have been involved with various DEI endeavors and programs in the past, and I am so delighted to have you join us in this podcast today.
Judy, thank you so much for that introduction and the invitation to be here with you today. I'm delighted to be speaking with you about these important topics again as well.
Excellent. Today, the key points among our discussions will be factors that contribute to health disparities in ocular disease and strategies for overcoming barriers to care. And we are excited to learn about these from you, Adrian. As you know, studies have shown that social determinants of health can affect health outcomes. What are some of the main causes of ocular health disparities among different populations, Adrian?
The disparities among ophthalmologic outcomes are across all different subspecialties. And if you look even from everything from treatable, preventable eye conditions such as cataract, refractive error, amblyopia care, even just access to routine eye exams, there's a disparity among various Americans from different demographics. And this is particularly glaring when you get into these potentially blinding diseases that we see often disproportionately affecting individuals from minority communities such as glaucoma and, you know, our subspecialty in diabetic eye disease. So, you know, these disparities are clear. We've noted them over the years, and it's important that we continue to delve down and really name the problem and better try to understand why these conditions are happening and are disproportionately affecting Americans from different populations.
Then what are some barriers to healthcare that eye care providers should be aware of?
Well, they're multi-pronged, and one that we see very commonly is that health care is tied to insurance status, and we see oftentimes that, especially with diabetic eye disease, eye care, medical care is tied to employment, and so if a person has a lapse in employment for whatever reason, or even if they are employed but they don't have insurance that comes with their employment, they will not be able to obtain, often don't obtain, the recommended eye screening and an eye visits for their particular disease recommendations. So, for example, it's really common, unfortunately, to see a young diabetic patient who's working hard, in their job, but they'll either be underinsured or lose their job, and you'll see this lapse in care. So people that we see who have pretty good eye care, and then all of a sudden they'll lose their job, and then they'll show up a few years later, and you'll see such progression of, for example, something like proliferative diabetic retinopathy. And it's very sad because maybe they didn't get a chance to get back because they lost their job, or they didn't have eye care coverage, or they were so busy working they could not afford to leave their job to take time off to come to the eye doctor. And it's devastating because, as you know, and our audience knows, there's so many of these eye diseases that can be managed and even prevented with routine evaluations and treatments. So, I mean, I think the insurance piece is one, although when you look even across all demographics, regardless of insurance status, disparities still exist.
Yeah, I think you and I have seen these cases over and over again, unfortunately. And even when some of our patients have jobs, their part-time jobs. They may have, you know, multiple jobs, but they're part-time and they do not provide insurance. So eventually they not only not have vision insurance, but they don't have medical insurance either. So as you said about diabetic patients with diabetes, they may not have good diabetes care, which then turns into poor eye care. You also mentioned some of the jobs and education, but I also think the neighborhoods, you know, where they live, seem to play a big role. Studies have shown that, you know, the zip code somehow determines how healthy we are. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. And this is another important social determinant of health. In all different eye diseases, resources and access to eye care by zip code is directly related to a person's ability to obtain their best medical health or even especially in their best eye health. So how many ophthalmologists do you have in your area? How far do you have to get to even get to the eye doctor? Do you have to take two buses? Is the eye doctor open during your working hours? Or, you know, like we mentioned, the issues with employment and being able to get to the doctor. So, you know, other things, for example, in neighborhoods, you look at resources of various neighborhoods and these things called political determinants of health. So who decides whether or not your neighborhood has, for example, a Whole Foods with lots of fresh, healthy options that, as we know, help determine overall eye and cardiovascular health, or who decides whether or not, you know, you get, you know, the, you know, Popeye's chicken in your neighborhood as opposed to that, you know, and both things are, you know, have their place, but there are definitely disparities in how much access by zip code certain populations have to these healthy options to be able to contribute to their overall medical and eye care.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that it's cost more to eat healthy with vegetables and fruits than to go to a fast food store?
That's right. And that's, you know, definitely something we see in our communities with the disparities. You know, a whole nother discussion is even on things like cardiovascular health, risks of certain cancers. And, you know, all these things are also seen in eye care and health of the retinas as well.
So you mentioned cardiovascular health as well. So how does ophthalmology compare and contrast with other specialties of medicine?
Yeah, I think we see a lot of these disparities similarly to our colleagues in cardiovascular spaces. So, you know, I do understand there to be analogies between the cardiovascular risks. So, for example, patients from certain minority backgrounds, from certain zip codes, have more tendency to die earlier or be diagnosed earlier for things like hypertension, stroke, you know, and of course, we know those things, having elevated blood pressure, elevated blood sugars, cholesterol, all factor into those similar vasculopathic, you know, damage to the or disease processes. So it's all interrelated. And, you know, these disparities are so, you know, echoed in other fields such as prostate cancer and maternal morbidity and even neonatal morbidity and mortality. So these health disparities are real. And I'm really pleased that we're starting to talk more about them in ophthalmology and really try to drill down on why these things are happening.
And that's why we're having this type of podcast. So it's great. What are some strategies then as eye care providers? How can we implement in our clinics and promote health equity?
The strategies are multi-pronged. I do think that health literacy is important for the patient. So in my experience and from the literature, it does appear that, so for example, a patient with diabetes, we think they will go to a primary doctor. They would likely go to be able to have a point of contact to a primary care provider to be able to obtain, for example, their diabetic medication. So it's very important that that particular care provider educate the patient or be very clear that it's absolutely critical for a diabetic patient to have their eyes examined with a dilated exam at least once a year. And now I stress the word dilated because we also see the sad situation in which a person goes and they don't have a dilated exam. Maybe they go get a check for glasses. They think they're doing the right thing for their vision, but there may be retinopathy that could be potentially sight-threatening or macular edema that could be missed. So it's important that the primary eye care provider as the first point of contact often be very clear with the patient that these diabetic dilated eye exams are critical. So health literacy, educating the patients, having a system in which there's a good interconnection among health providers. So for example, if the primary care provider is the first point of contact, they ought to be able to work with us as the ophthalmologist and the subspecialist to get their patients in a timely fashion for their recommended dilated eye exams. I think that's where work such as you've done in telemedicine and teleophthalmology can be helpful, because many times these, sometimes these fundus cameras that are imaging retinas and identifying retinopathy are right there in the primary care office. So it's one of these situations in which the primary care office as the primary point of contact can be instrumental in helping the patients achieve their best eye health and helping them to become integrated into their eye care routine that they should be following.
Yeah, Adrian, I like the fact that you brought out the importance of communication between healthcare providers, between primary care and ophthalmology, as well as for ophthalmologists, we should be more aware of the health literacy part. You know, we have so many jargons and we have our patients sitting there and we're talking about all these different words that they may have a hard time understanding. So I think we need to be a little more aware of how we explain things so they're less fearful, that they are more trusting of what we are recommending. All good points. Then finally, what are some ways then we can change focus as a society to improve healthcare disparity? I know we can't solve the whole problem of our society, but what, you know, you've given a lot of thoughts over the years. What are some recommendations, Adrian?
Well, I do think also, in addition to some of the strategies we've spoken about, that you know, diversifying the healthcare workforce is very important. I think that you mentioned a good, you know, very interesting term is trust, and historically there has been perhaps a lack of trust with some of the communities and the healthcare system. And I believe that it's important to continue to work hard to diversify the pipeline of individuals working in healthcare to make the workforce more closely resemble the composition of patients who are most affected by these diseases. There have been studies that have shown concordance with doctor-patient relationship satisfaction, adherence to medication, and follow-up. If a patient feels comfortable or feels like maybe they share the same set of values that or seen by their the same set of values that their healthcare provider may also share. So it's not to say that, you know, we can't take care of patients from all different backgrounds. We can and we do, and we pride ourselves on doing that every day. But I do think as a society, it would be helpful to be able to particularly enhance the health of particular groups in the country to help diversify the healthcare workforce, mentoring trainees, as we try to do to increase their access and into the ophthalmology space as well. So we have trainees that also resemble the patients in the minority communities as well.
Wonderful. Well, it was a pleasure to have Dr. Adrian Scott join us today. Adrian, thank you. Health disparity is an underappreciated aspect of healthcare today, even though it became more highlighted during the pandemic. We learned so much about the barriers that many people face and also strategies that we as providers can use to improve access to care from you, Adrian, today. And I encourage all our listeners to continue to learn and act upon these topics to improve healthcare disparity. We appreciate the time you took to discuss these issues with us today. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you, Judy, for having me. I enjoyed the discussion.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again soon for another episode in this series discussing strategies to optimize diversity and inclusion in eye care. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. And a special thank you to our grant supporter, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, Inc., who provided an independent medical education grant for this activity.